began scavenging metal. It infiltrated the security system. It started building the droids.
Ulla called them hexes.
That was as good a name as any for now.
Maybe just one or two hexes at first, to defend itself. It kept them hidden inside, like a nest or an egg. If you look into one of the hexes, you'll see they're not solid all the way through. They have a honeycomb structure, so two could easily fit in here if they were collapsed down.
She poked the cilia with the barrel of her rifle.
Two would be enough to take over a ship.
Chet looked at her, not the droid nest.
You think it was waiting for someone to win the auction and take it away?
I do. The hexes would have emerged, overpowered the crew, and gone safely home.
He nodded slowly, thinking through her proposition.
I think you're partly there, he said. Given enough time, I reckon the hexes could have escaped from here on their own steam. Note how they emerged from the vault the moment everyone started fighting over it. The door melted like butter, probably thanks to wires like these. If everyone had waited just one more day, I think our nest here would have turned up empty.
You might be right, she said.
It's just a guess, he said self-deprecatingly.
Here's another one, she said, edging back to the door. If the homing instinct theory is right, then the hexes must know the way home.
Jet's face brightened.
So if we can get out of here with one of their brains, we won't need the Navicomp after all.
They peered out at the body of the double hex lying on the floor of the vault. The laser cannon had blasted a hole right through both conjoined abdomens. The innards were blackened and melted, totally unsalvageable. Jet's face fell.
Worth a thought, anyway.
Lorin leaned back against the wall and closed her eyes.
Shigar sure was taking his time.
Her blood sugar was low, and the endless pain was making her dizzy. The sliver of metal from the factory was still in her one good hand. She slipped it into one of her suit's many sealed compartments. At least they wouldn't return empty-handed.
A disturbance outside distracted her.
"Someone's coming," called Hetchke.
Lorin propped the barrel of her rifle on the back of her left hand and trained it through the door. The mound of rubble at the far end of the security airlock was moving. Someone was clearly coming up through it. But was it Stryver, the Sith, or Jet's loyal droid? A scuffed orange hand, reaching out of the gravel to find purchase on a fallen beam, soon answered the question.
"Told ya," said Jet with a satisfied expression.
"Over here, mate,"
he yelled to the droid. Clunker extricated himself from the rubble and limped over to join them, utterly unmolested. The Hook had stopped firing. Instead of reassuring Lorin, that worried her. There was no way to know what was going on outside their impromptu redoubt. She presumed the huts wouldn't leave them alone for long.
"Good work, Hetchke," she said, returning to the safety of the vault's interior. "I think we'll have more company soon, so stay alert."
"Yes, sir."
If the soldier was worried by that prospect, he didn't show it. Clunker was communicating with Jet via a series of rapid signs.
"Bad news," the smuggler translated. "Stryver got away with the Navicomp."
"That's the end of that, then,"
she said, unable to hide her bitterness. The trail had gone cold. Any hope she might have entertained about redeeming herself by means of a successful volunteer mission were now officially dead.
"What does he want with this colony, anyway? Doesn't Mandalore have enough soldiers already?"
"Doesn't T'Sol Barish have enough money?"
His cynical smile flashed again.
"I think Stryver wanted the Navicomp for two reasons. To find the Cinzia's origins, and to hide its destination.